So you get excited because they're excited, gets me excited, gets all our fans excited, and our sponsors. Yeah. So it's going to work out.
Bless you, boys! Unbelievable! I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
Step into the well-informed, ill-advised, and oddly entertaining world of Talkin' Sports.
Here we go!
Light the candle!
Sorry, folks, kind of dropped the ball on the opening there, talking about morning train.
But Sheena Easton, check that shit out.
Yeah, never would have pulled that. I had no idea who. But I know it from Eurotrip. You familiar with this movie?
Vaguely. I haven't seen it.
Oh, fuck. Again, go home, skip the Sens game, watch Eurotrip.
My baby takes the morning train.
A couple of these American kids over a tour in Europe end up with a British soccer hooligan gang who demand they sing the British national anthem, or maybe it was
God Save the Queen.
No, sing Manchester United's goal song or something like that. And the kid breaks into morning train.
Okay, look at him.
Yeah, it's pretty funny,
again,
man.
And Sheena Easton was, she's Scottish, anyways.
This is Talkin' Sports 306.
So they say.
Rob's over there.
Hey, hey.
I'm over here. I'm Matt.
That is Matt.
Yeah.
The intrepid producer and host of the show.
Oh, man, just premature.
That did not sound. And really, it's my go-to, my fave. I'm loving it.
Release the Hounds?
No, it's the Aromatherapy from Beyond the Pale.
Okay.
It's goddamn gorgeous.
Sad news this week, man, regarding a fairly well-known Canadian, Alex Trebek. Let me work this out.
Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
Alex
He's
Trebek.
He's not Canadian.
He is not. Honorary, though.
Well.
And if you're listening, Alec, come on the show.
Well, because at some point, the president's going to have you banned from the United States for your repeated impressions on Saturday Night Live.
Tijuana?
Which are dead on.
Or Sault Ste. Marie.
Oh, Tijuana, for sure.
Nothing a tetanus shot won't fix.
One of the things we like to do here on this show.
Penicillin.
Is act superior.
Yes. It is what we do here.
On a topic that's of fairly limited importance to anybody. Like sports.
Well, this is what we do.
Yeah. This is all we do. So, I wanted to play quickly as we open this show. Alex Trebek acting superior to some of his nerd contestants on the subject of sports. They're not so good, and I guess he felt like he needed to let them have it. Can I play that for you, man?
Do it.
100. Your choice, do or don't name this play in which the quarterback runs the ball and can choose to pitch it to another back. It's an option play. Ryan?
Football, 400.
I can tell you guys are big football fans. Tom Landry perfected the shotgun formation with this team. Dallas Cowboys. Do you think we should go to commercial? Ryan?
Take it on to 600.
Okay, by signaling for one of these, a returner can reel in a kick without fear of getting tackled.
Fair catch.
Fair catch. Two clues left, Ryan.
800.
These penalties are simultaneous violations by the offense and defense that cancel each other out. And they are called offsetting penalties. Let's look at the $1,000 clue, just for the fun of it. Jimmy?
As Minneapolis's U.S. Bank Stadium prepares to host Super Bowl 52, I'm looking at the Ring of Honor with names from this defensive line that took the Vikings to 4 Super Bowls.
Purple people eaters?
If you guys ring in and get this one, I will die. Who are the purple people eaters?
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. I have to talk to them.
Alex Trebek's a little bit smug now and then, but kind of fun. I don't think most Jeopardy contestants are big-time NFL fans. You got the last three there.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I went with coincidental, little hockey coming in there.
Yeah, true. Offsetting.
The offsetting.
Yeah. Same thing. I had the Dallas Cowboys. I'd seen this clip several times, obviously, before posting it. I had the Dallas Cowboys for Tom Landry's offense and the Purple People Eaters. Those were the only two I got, if we're being upfront about it.
Okay, well, I got them all, except for coincidental versus offsetting.
So Alex Trebek, this week, he comes out battling stage 4 cancer, pancreatic, I believe.
Yep.
Is he top 5 most well-known Canadians worldwide?
Well, and I think he is the best-known person out of the greater Sudbury area.
Sure. How about, come on, Dave Letterman's guy, Paul Schaefer, I believe also. Is he not a Sudbury guy?
I don't know.
I think so.
Canadian for sure, but...
So who's more well-known, Paul Schaefer or Alex Trebek?
Oh, it's Alex Trebek.
You think, eh?
For sure.
Late Show was pretty big, man.
Well, okay, and you're asking me...
I just asked your opinion, and you gave it,
as a guy who at certain times had up to 200 Jeopardy's PVR'd.
I'll get to it.
Yeah, well, and really, I want to watch them all and then rewatch them with somebody else and look like an absolute okay, so, king.
So I used to, weeknights back at home, me and my sister would sit down and play, usually actually before dinner. We ate late a lot of the time. And she'd usually beat me.
What? It's very continental, my friend. What are you eating at 8 o'clock at night?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Sometimes.
Are you in Spain?
No.
Okay. No.
We were not in Spain, in fact.
But we were eating huevos rancheros.
And often she'd beat me. And
this is your younger sister?
Yeah. Well, both my sisters are younger. But my youngest, yeah, who's now a lawyer and very smug knowing she beat me in Jeopardy all those years, I think is what's kept her going.
Yes. For sure.
But somehow over the years, this tale in our family has turned from reasonably close contests where she'd get 10 and I'd get 8 or whatever it might be, to her answering every question and me sitting on the couch drooling on myself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Can I get you a towel, Matt?
And also based on my schedule in college in Belleville there, well, I was in broadcast school, which has led me to this podcast. I would often get home at around 3, and it would be on NTV, which was the superstation out in Newfoundland. And that's, for whatever reason, at 3 or 3:30, they would broadcast Jeopardy. And so both my buddy George and I had kind of this unspoken agreement that we would watch it then. And you weren't taking notes, but you were...
Oh, you'd watch it again aware, late,
yeah,
later.
Yeah, later, when the rest of the guys got home. And you didn't want to nail it down, but you'd let George have this one. George, let me have the next one, and we would smoke the other guys in the house.
Yeah, yeah. You don't want to be hammering the really hard ones.
No, no.
Right,
and you, like, at least got to play it off like maybe it's Guadalajara, right? Like you're struggling with it, but
what
you nail
is
it. Right?
A garage yeti.
A garage yeti.
Yeah, exactly. Just as well. Oh, you don't come off as well if you can't nail it with the accident.
No. Accent. Lots See? Of accidents.
Right there.
So Alex Trebek, he's dealing with some stuff. And
well, and this is a guy
tough.
Who's already had, I believe he's already had brain surgery. Oof. Within the last, I don't know, 8 years.
What are they now just inserting the Jeopardy cards right in there? Or?
Yeah, for sure. Well, and again,
and it's easy to be smug as fuck when you got,
when you
the,
got
answer
the answers,
right in front of you.
Of course.
Like, he knows.
But you've been
the
doing the show for
leader.
25 years. You've got to have picked some shit up by osmosis,
true,
no?
True. And that's probably the 9th time through they've used some of these questions.
Yeah.
Slash answers.
There is only so much you can come. But I used to have a Jeopardy book. I've loved the show for, well,
that's
for
why
forever.
He's going to get to his 200 PVR'd episodes.
Yeah, well, when I switched over, I actually lost them all. But
do you know the name Anne-Renée Desbiens?
Anne-Renée Desbiens. Nope.
So, depending on the day at the Pyeongchang Olympics last year, she was either Canada's second or third string goalie for the women's division. She is currently enrolled in an American university. She was just thrown out of her intramural league by some guys that she beat the night before, complained to the league that she was too good, and it wasn't fair to everybody else. what's going underreported is that this intramural league, like most intramural league, which is just people trying to have fun and whatever, does allow its Division I men to play on teams with their buddies and whatever. But, you know, guys don't like being shut down by chicks
so
who are dominating them.
Losers.
For sure losers, man. And this is, you know, yesterday at the time we sit here and record, this was International Women's Day. So that was one of the reasons this story kind of popped up again. And but good for her, man. If you're out there crushing, like, guys, first of all, enjoy the opportunity to take on somebody that good. See if you can.
Somebody who's been at the Olympics.
Yeah. This should be fun for you. I guess it's not. But what? And ladies, if you have a chance to dominate somebody this petty and this small, do it ever. Like, first of all, the opportunity and the ability.
Any chance you get.
Do it. And fucking run with it. Did you see?
Well,
go ahead. Sorry.
I don't get it. I don't get why you'd want to drum out.
Well, because you're not going to win the t-shirt at the end of the season.
Yeah. But again, it's, yeah, you allow other Division I guys to play.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Of course it's stupid. There's another story going around right now of, oh, what's her name? Lovisa, like, Senderberg. No. It's not quite that stereotypically Swedish. It's not Senderberg, but it doesn't matter. I apologize if she's listening. She's probably not. She's the goalie for RPI, which is the private university in the United States, right?
Yeah.
So they're playing in the first round of the ECAC, which is, again, now collegiate competitive level, all women, playoffs. She's playing against Colgate, which is number four in the country. And depending on who you believe, and to me the more reasonable sounding is that Colgate outshot RPI 78-14. There are people out there saying it was 128-14. People contending that that was shot attempts, not shots, which
right.
still makes that makes way more sense to me. That
for sure,
Colgate wins 2-1 in overtime, and like I said, this chick either made 76 saves or 126 saves and lost in overtime. My question to you is, the greater pressure not on the other goalie who's only faced 14?
It absolutely is.
So Colgate wins 2-1 in overtime. You're tied 1-1 late in the third or in overtime. You've only faced 13, 14 shots. If you give up the next one,
I'm standing
to the
there.
Goalie who's given up or stopped 75. Holy fuck.
Because I'm standing there likely stone cold.
Yeah.
Right? What, making three saves a period.
Right.
And then
somebody else is banging out 25 a period.
Well, this is it. And you go, I know, or it seems like she's not letting another goal
right.
in.
Right.
Every shot I make comes with 10 times the pressure.
For sure. And I'm going to be the asshole who gave up the one, right, that everyone's going to remember this giant upset.
Yes, your 2-on-15 looks right. nowhere near as good as the 1-on-75.
So, I don't know, just a couple of fun stories floating around, man. What's on your mind these days in the sporting landscape?
Well, you know what? Again, I think a lot of it comes from, well, it's hockey, clearly.
Yeah.
I would say first and foremost, we talked about the sad news, and this is where I thought you were going. We talked about the passing of Ted Lindsay.
Right.
And
no, we didn't. Not on the show.
Okay. Yeah. No, sorry.
Sorry.
But when you said sad news, I thought, okay, yeah, he's going to hit us with Ted Lindsay. But, Ted Lindsay, Renfrew guy. So right here in Eastern Ontario.
Had no idea.
Okay, well, look at that, man.
Yeah.
Everybody learned something on the show.
I've been edutained.
Whether they want to or not. Just what an absolute legend, icon that guy was, right? In terms of when you talk about old school, man, it's Ted Lindsay. Ted Lindsay's an old school guy, right? The kind of guy who, you know, even in the off season, in the summertime, you're in downtown Renfrew or whatever, and he sees somebody who plays for the Habs, he crosses the street, right? I don't even want to look at you. Not even in the off season.
Yeah.
And you go, wow.
Well, and I've talked about this before, that at one point my parents got me this 5-cassette set of video cassette set of Legends of Hockey. And he was obviously one of them. And in his dedicated section where they're talking about him, he's telling the story that they were playing a playoff series with the Red Wings, and you would have to, back in the day, take the train back and forth. So often the teams were on the same train. He said if you were situated towards the back of the train, like the Montreal car was there, or sorry, the Red Wing car was at the back, then the Montreal car, and then the dining car, so you just didn't eat. You would not walk through their car to get to the dining car. That's just how it was. Like, it was a blood sport. You hated these guys.
And the talk of, you know, those very famous clips, the All-Star Game, and back in those days, the All-Star Game was the NHL champions, the cup winners, against the All-Stars.
Right.
Right. That would be the All-Star Game. And that picture of him at the All-Star Game where he's holding his stick up like a rifle.
Yep.
Right, and he's pointing it into the crowd. Like, honestly. And he's got one eye is black. Right? Yeah. Like, he's just, you know, not to mention net worth. You've seen Net Worth?
Yep.
Awesome, right? With him.
And CBC production, for those who don't know, him forming the
NHL Players.
The Players Association. Yeah.
And how hard that was in a time when the owners absolutely had their thumb on the players.
Right.
Right? In terms of they would, you know, lower the attendance numbers to you know, lower the gate so that they would pay less.
Look like you were making as much money.
This is it. And they would cry poor. And you know, you had the Norrises who owned Chicago and Detroit at the time.
Yeah.
And really working hard to collude and keep players' salary low.
And this was obviously, like, now, basically as soon as a contract is signed, capfriendly.com has not just the how much the guy's getting paid, but what his signing bonuses are and what his trade protection is and whatever. Guys didn't talk about it. And the owners encouraged you not to. Hey, I'm going to give you an extra $5,000 here, but don't tell whoever, because then I'm going to have to do, you know, this is something I'm doing just for you. And they would play you like that. And it wasn't until these things started to become public and the players started to talk to each other that you were able to have a little bit of leverage. And that was all him.
In those days, Jack Adams was the general manager of the Wings, and he was played by Al Waxman. Does a dynamite job, right? And he'd bring Gordie Howe in, and Gordie was just a good Southern Saskatchewan boy.
He'd kind of take whatever he was being offered.
Yeah, didn't want to kick too much. Where his wife is saying, Gordie, you need to get more. You need to get more. You need to get paid what you're worth. And Gordie would get in there, and Jack Adams would lean on him.
Yeah.
And so then when everybody else came in, they'd say, I can't give you that. I'd love to give you that money, but I can't give you more than what Gordy's
getting.
Like, what do you think you're better than Gordie?
Right. Meanwhile, you've already played Gordie to the fucking ground.
Right to the ground, right? And you're keeping everything so low, right? And so, yeah, in terms of how hard he would have had to swallow all of his other issues to establish the Players Association.
Yeah.
Whatever you think of it now, in those days, like most unions, right? Unions, when they're started, are absolutely needed, and now they're just people are getting fatter off of them. But
right.
Interesting story that started circulating, right? And you go, that's a principal douchebag, right?
The Hall of Fame?
Yeah, 1966 when he got inducted into the Hall of Fame and he boycotted.
Yep.
Right? He's like, it's still at that point, it blew my mind that it was still a men's only event in 1966.
Couldn't bring your wife, couldn't bring your family.
And he's like, my wife and kids they're my life. They're the hugest parts of my life. If they can't come, I'm not coming.
Right.
So guess what? He didn't.
Yeah.
And you go, wow. That's a...
Like I said, going all the way back to this, you know, tape set, he's talking about John Beliveau. He keeps calling him John. Obviously, it's Jean Beliveau and whatever.
Yeah.
But even at his age at that time, he's got to be in his 60s or 70s at the time that this is recorded. He keeps calling him Mr. Beliveau, right? And he just said, I've never met more of a gentleman, right? More of a... Now, he hated the Habs, hated everything.
LeGros Bill.
You just have this respect for some guys, right? And, you know, just the way he would talk about some of these people. And, you know, each of these tapes has sections on their guys or whatever. So when you get to the Ted Lindsay section, you hear everybody talk about him. But when he's talking about Jean Beliveau, it's just with this reverence of, you know, the ultimate gentleman and whatever. So, you know, a guy who's thought of as someone who would kill you to win, still off the ice all these years later, would talk about the guys that he had this ultimate respect for, right?
And well, and did you read the Athletic article on him?
No, I don't think I have. So no, it, I know I haven't.
And it was talking about, and so he was in his 90s when he just passed away.
Yes.
92, yeah. Somewhere. And up until a couple of years ago, he still would be seen at Joe Louis or now in yep. the new arena. He's in the gym, right?
Yeah.
Guys would come off the ice and there'd be Ted in there banging out a couple of sets.
Yep.
Right? Keeping it fresh and real. And
I guess he became a big charity guy and big time, his biggest, you know, charity work was for kids with autism. And Elliot Friedman was talking on his podcast, their 31 Thoughts, that, you know, he wanted to get involved with a charity and someone pulled him aside and said, hey, that's awesome. Be very careful that you get involved with one that you know the money is going where it's supposed to go, because every year some charities come out and it's not a fraud, but only 20% of the money raised goes
to administration.
Right. And so he looked around and someone pointed him towards Ted Lindsay's charity that was involved with kids with autism. He said somehow it was up as high as 86% getting where it was supposed to get, right?
Yeah.
So he would only involve himself with stuff that was just, you know, one of those guys, right? And for all these guys now walking around making millions and millions of dollars and bitching over the little things, it was somebody who had to do it when it was actually hard to get all these guys rallied together and push, you know, and that was Ted Lindsay at the time. And I think that's going to go down far more as his legacy than his playing career.
For sure. 350 goals or whatever he had, right?
Yeah.
Several cups. But
the production line.
Yes. Alex Delvecchio.
Yep. And Gordy and him.
But just, you talk about people with or without principles, and there's doing it. There's talking about it, and then there's doing it, right? And so often it's easier to sort of to push than it is to pull.
For sure.
And you sort of go, man, that's a guy who walked the walk and talked the talk, right?
Right.
And you sort of go, there's not enough of those people.
No.
So, you know, good on you, Ted. And
one of those guys that
take it easy.
You're going to go down pretty universally respected, which is rare at this point. There's one other thing I wanted to touch on before we get into a couple of other topics that you had lined up here. I want to play some audio for you. And this is from Wednesday night. The Leafs are in Vancouver. And I only bring this up because, you know, we just talked about Ted Lindsay. Most of the arenas around the league were engaging in a moment of silence to honor him before, you know, their next home games. Calgary had just done one. Vegas had just done one. They were pretty much stone silent. Let's take a listen to what happened in Vancouver with the Leafs in town as they attempted to play out their moment of silence.
At this time, we ask that you rise. If you can, remove your caps and join us in a moment of silence as we honor the memory of a hockey legend and an extraordinary man, Ted Lindsay.
You ever heard a worse moment of silence?
I have never heard a worse moment of silence than that anywhere.
So for the entire rest of the game, Twitter, which I know you look down on with disdain, as you probably should, was ablaze with fucking Leafs fans invading our building and ruining our moment of silence. And of course, the other side, Canucks fans need to shut the fuck up. And I can tell you in that, I heard Leafs suck. I heard go Leafs go. I heard shut up. I heard shut the hell up, which I guess is people thinking they're helping. I heard both sides yelling more stupid shit than I can.
See, I can really pick out the go Leafs go.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what you want to hear. Yeah.
No, it's never what I want to hear, actually.
No, okay. But in this case, there is enough shit going around for the very first one, and it's muffled. It sounds like it's at the far end. Sounds like go Canucks. And then there's three or four go Leafs or go Leafs go. and then a bunch of shut up screaming back at them or whatever. At this point, you're all idiots. But my point, I guess, at this point is, and we've talked about the anthem thing on the show, we've talked about enough. We're clearly all shitty enough at this point that this isn't worth it anymore. Cut the anthem, cut the moment of silence, cut everything. It's just drunk losers at every game, in every arena, on every side of this, that can't be trusted to do a nice thing once in a while, right? Like, and I know I pitched at one point, only play one anthem, always play the home team's anthem and be done with it. I'm ready to be done with that because people are morons. I just, we suck, man. Like, we can't be trusted with nice things.
See, I blame Leaf fans.
Of course you do. This is what I was saying a second ago. If you really listen to it, you can hear both sides yelling at each other. But because it's in Vancouver, it must have been Leaf fans that fucked it up.
And, yeah. Well, and you know what?
Canucks fans suck.
For sure they do.
Well, and torched your fucking city.
And there's been no, yeah, exactly. You're lucky they didn't turn over buses after this. And
they won. So
and smash the windows. So what?
No, that's true.
Smash the windows.
Celebratory riots.
At the local bay. Like, who knows? You know, it just shit gets loose out there. It's really, if you look at it, Leafs are going good. Man, they were in large numbers in Calgary.
For sure.
They were in big numbers in Vancouver.
Yeah.
All right.
They're in Edmonton tonight at the time we sit here and record this.
So, yeah.
I expect a good turnout there.
Well, and the reality is, yeah, Toronto fans, they're everywhere.
Okay. Yes.
No, I'm...
But that's not my point here.
I know it's not your point. I know it's not your point. And really, I've never heard anything like that.
It was terrible.
Yeah. So... No, I don't think we do away with it.
And those of you who think you're helping by yelling "shut the hell up,"
yeah, but I get it.
It wasn't better.
I know, but it's an absolute reaction, right? To your absolute, complete, total lack of respect.
Let me ask your uncultured ass. Over the years, back in your Pete's days or whatever, you ever yelled out during an anthem or a moment of silence or a?
Never.
Like, I just don't know what's to be gained. Like, I don't know what you're.
Yeah. Well, and
I don't
and again,
know if I believe you, but
everybody else around is feeling hot with shame for you,
yeah,
at the time.
Like, it's the douche chills, I call them, right? Where you get uncomfortable because of something someone else has done. Like,
well, you should be
you cringe a little.
Like, you should be well used to that.
I mean, I get the douche chills a lot.
anytime we're out in public.
For sure.
But yeah, no, I haven't really. Now, you know what? I can't say back, as you said, in my...
Of course, but...
In the going to Pete's games, you know, anybody who is going to have... I used to go with my buddy Rob Miller. Sorry if you're listening out there, and I'm outing you too. You know, in the Pete's out of tandem of Ron Tugnutt and Kay Whitmore.
Oh, right. Killer.
Yeah, that's a great tandem for a junior
for
hockey
sure.
Duo. Yeah, I'd get Rob Miller to jump up and throw his hands over his hair. Over his hair.
Over his hair.
What the hell am I talking?
That's way up there in the
70s. I think my brain just broke.
Yeah.
His hands straight up in the air, and I would yell out, "Tug my nuts!"
As super clever.
This is it. But he's jumping up.
Yeah.
And I'm yelling. Yeah.
So everyone's looking at him.
Yes.
Yeah. That's why I never jump when you tell me to. That and I can't.
So I really have no idea. Right? You'd wait for it to be its absolute quietest.
So Leaf fans absolutely were a part of that. But both sides are just... And part of it is, at most sporting events, but I will put some extra blame on Leaf fans here because they only go out to Vancouver once a year. Those guys have probably been hammered since noon,
yeah,
right?
For sure.
Gearing up for...
For sure.
But chill the fuck out, right? Like...
Yeah.
You always... Here during a moment of silence, especially if you're at the game, someone will yell, "Go Leafs, go! Go Sens, go!" or whatever, and most people will just tune it out, right? Like I've heard that in a bunch of different places.
For sure, you have.
But this was almost constant through the entire thing. And you couldn't tell what some of it was. You absolutely could pick out some of it. It's call and response. It's people telling the others to shut up. That was ugly, man. And I think it's time to be done.
Yeah, I disagree, though. Just because a bunch of stupid Leaf fans in Vancouver.
Circle all the way back around there.
Yeah, just because they've got fast and loose.
Yep.
The rest of us seem to be able to do it just
I hope
fine.
You're not fucking honoring anything tonight, Edmonton, because we're fucking up your ceremony too.
Yeah, but what are you honoring, really? Yeah.
I'm sure the 80s Oilers again.
Yeah, I think you got to go back to the Eskimos.
Yeah, awesome.
Those five consecutive Grey Cup champions.
Last time we played the Oilers, which was only like 6 days ago, I think, maybe a little more than that, Ken Hitchcock was on the air with the media talking about how Connor McDavid was ready to be uncorked after his two-game suspension and torch the Leafs. Maybe had his worst game of the fucking season. I think Hitch has been pretty quiet today, but talking it up too much.
Now, I think the Oilers have won every game since that.
Well, that's great, man. And they might get, maybe they'll do it to Toronto tonight, but I'd talk way less about
they're coming in hot.
Your superstar.
Well, you got to think, you know, A, that's not Connor McDavid's game, right? I'm going to play on the edge because I'm pissed off.
Yeah, no. And he's just better than everybody, and that's that.
And you got to hope that Hitch is just, he's throwing that out there hoping.
Sure.
You know, hoping I get something here because I need it. If that guy's not going to light it up, I'm not getting shit done.
You want to go to Boston or Columbus next?
I want to go to Columbus.
Let's go to Columbus. Ever since the deadline, where they went all in, dealt all kinds of picks to bring in Matt Duchene, Ryan Dzingel, Adam McQuaid, who's been healthy scratched a couple of fucking times. I got to tell you, I was all in on it. I loved how aggressive they were. Not gone well since. They've lost a bunch, including, I believe, two so far to Pittsburgh. Possibly three by the time you hear this, as I believe it's Columbus-Pittsburgh again tonight. Saturday night. And these are huge games. Columbus and Pittsburgh both trying to grab that last spot.
These are back-to-backs. So tonight is the second half.
Right.
And in the last one, they healthy scratched Bobrovsky.
The Bob.
Like, you're not even backing up. You're in the press box, Bob. Goalie Bob. And you're like, you kept Panarin and Bobrovsky specifically for this run. If you're not playing him or at least dressing him in a head-to-head with one of the teams that's 1 point, 2 points ahead of you in the standings.
Did Corpusalo start that?
Yes.
So Kincaid backed up?
Yes.
Okay.
And you go, I don't get it. You went all in. Why didn't you trade his ass? Now, granted, the market for a goalie, not great at the trade deadline.
No.
So it does come down to, but yeah, you have, if you're not dressing him for those games, I don't know what you're doing.
Well, this goes back to something that I've talked to you about a couple of times. If you don't want to use him, let's say you're resting him or whatever you're doing, and he's not going to start. I don't want to dress him to back up either. I want him to rest.
Right there.
But we've talked about this. More of it's normally coming back from injury. Your starter's coming back from injury. And like if it's your third line winger or whatever, maybe you drop him in on the fourth and ease him back in with his minutes. I hate when teams bring back a goalie who's been injured and put him on the bench as the backup the game before he comes back to start. So he's going to go in cold if your fucking guy gets hurt or whatever. And we've been talking on Twitter at Talk and Audio about the Leafs. They're talking about not using Freddie as much down the stretch so he's more well-rested. This game tonight against Edmonton should be Spark's game. It's not going to be. They're starting Freddie. I'd have put Freddie on a flight home from Vancouver. He's not going to Edmonton to back up. Like, he's going home to rest, and you'll fly whoever the fuck out from the Marlies to sit on the bench for Sparks, right? Like, these sorts of things, if you're not going to use the guy, don't use him. Really don't use him. And so I don't hate this move. Like,
okay,
unless you think it's more of a shot.
Well, to me, it's absolutely... what are you bringing Kincaid in for? Is it for next year?
I don't know what his contract status is, right, in terms of whether he's UFA or not. I assume he's not, or you wouldn't have done
this. To me, when you have a two-time Vezina Trophy winner and you're just scratching him,
yep,
it's odd.
But my thing is, if you've decided he's getting the night off, then he's getting the whole night off, no matter who gets hurt, no matter is what we're doing.
And you got to know, he's leaving the building anyways.
Right.
Guy got pulled from a game and then took off his shit and just decided he was going to leave.
That's true.
So you don't even get to tell him. Hey, you just stay home.
I'm disappointed with how this has gone for Columbus because I loved how aggressive Kekalainen was.
Well, because he took a bad situation and he said, yeah.
No, we're doing this.
This is my only choice. I can trade off now or we can instead go the other way.
Try and take a run.
Push all our draft picks in for the next 2 years.
Yep.
And go all in on this.
And I don't really give a shit how the Blue Jackets do, but if this blows up in his face the way it's looking like it might, because they currently sit out of a playoff spot, no one will ever be this aggressive again.
I think they're 1-4
You'll
in the five games since.
So you will set this aggressive idea back. Like, I love somebody just going, okay, if you guys, my two biggest stars are both leaving at the end of the year, instead of trading them, I'm going to get some guys to play around them, and I'm going to take a shot at this before we have to rebuild. I love that.
So how?
But it's not working.
How much?
And if it doesn't work and they miss the playoffs, his job is on the line. The rebuild is fucked, and it's 5-10 years before anybody tries to be this aggressive again.
Right. They're gonna drive this right back to the Stone Age if it doesn't work.
Yeah,
right. And
if all these guys, I want it to work.
All these guys walk at the end of the year. Yep. You're like, oh my fuck, that's
right.
Terrible.
So I want him to be successful. Now,
and I have none of my picks.
Even if he squeaks into the second wild card spot, you're like, yeah, we did it. Oh, fuck, that's Tampa. Oh fuck. Like, I don't think they were hoping for that second wild card spot.
Now, with 13 or 14 games, whatever's left, it's a serious soupy little mix down there, right?
Yep.
The last spot
Montreal's
in the Metro
right there.
And the two wild card spots
Carolina,
are all sort of interchangeable.
Pittsburgh, all right in that mix.
And so I wonder how much contact or at least conversation there was between Tortorella and Kekalainen in terms of the players you're bringing in. Because both DeZingel and Duchesne, not outstanding back checkers.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And in the show notes, I was talking with you, right? I look at DeZingel's time. He's played anywhere from 9 minutes to a high of 14, but most between 11 and 12 minutes per game.
So Torts is not high on him.
Guy's got 0 points.
Well, it's four games. I mean, you'd like to see him.
5 games, no points.
Yeah.
Because that guy, if he's not scoring points for you,
he's doing nothing for
you. He's not doing anything on the back end for you. Where Duchesne's up around 20 minutes, he's getting lots of time.
Yeah.
But again, not lighting it up there either. And so Torts has healthy scratched McQuaid.
Yeah.
Right? You got DeZingel around 12 minutes a game, and you go, Do you think Yarmo spoke to Torts before he made these trades?
I do, only because Torts was on 31 Thoughts last week, and he said, you know, we've been in constant contact and what he wanted to do and how I thought these guys might fit in. I was surprised that you would bring in Matt Duchesne and drop him immediately, and I don't know if this continued, but in the first game or two, onto Panarin's line. Panarin's your top guy. You have to bring in guys like that to complement your team. I can't disrupt my top line, right? Like, and I'll be honest, it would have been, I guess, Dubois.
Yep.
And Panarin and I don't know, Wenberg or whoever else might have cycled through on that. But you can't bring in a new number one center to play with your top guy. Like, you have to leave Dubois with Panarin and then put Duchesne on line two with, in my opinion, DeZingel. And Foligno, maybe, right? Like, somewhere where there's a little chemistry and not disrupt your entire flow. Like, it's strange to me, the way they handled it.
Well, and now one's a winger and one's a center, but it's like
you've
brought in, I'm just saying you've brought in two pieces that sort of are very similar in terms of offensive nature first, very little regard for the, and to me that doesn't, as Torts is a guy who was totally committed to shot blocks and plays that kind of style. Man, you just sort of go, it looks like it's going to go badly in that city.
So right? essentially, we've got three spots for four teams. Columbus is currently the odd man looking out, but I think they're only two back. Then you've got Montreal and
Carolina.
Pittsburgh holding down the wild card spots, and Carolina, I believe, currently holds
the third spot
in the other division. Is that the way this is going to finish? Columbus, the odd man out.
I want to say yeah.
Yeah, looks like it.
But
I really want to say Montreal is the one that's going to get fucked.
But. Okay, to me, Montreal and Carolina, I look at those two teams and go, what are you doing?
Yeah, you're not good.
You're not good.
Right, get out of here.
Like this is
Islanders it. Too, get the fuck lost.
Well, okay, and I've seen the Sens have played the Islanders back-to-back. I'm not impressed with, in both places. And I'm not impressed with that team at all.
No.
I know they put on a smoke show and ran the Leafs out of the building.
Twice.
But, okay.
But in building and their building.
But I'm not impressed with those guys at all.
Yeah. Well, I've said this on the last time we talked about them. If I'm making deals with the Islanders, I want your 2020 first-round pick, not your 2019 first-round pick, because you will not be this again.
Well, and what they've done is Trotz has come in there and put down a great defensive system.
Yep.
You've made B-plus goaltending look like...
Oh, Leonard's been so good.
Right.
Yeah, he's at like 930. But this is how we got in last show to talking about PDO, right? Your save percentage is too high. Your shooting percentage is too high. And both of those at some point are coming back to earth.
Well, and as I said to you, if you look at it, they're giving up, 20 to 24 shots a night.
Yep.
On net. Like that to me is super low. Whereas the other night, Ottawa had 38 shots on goal. Right, and they scored four goals, and you're like, I don't get it.
Right,
these guys don't look that
good.
We could
have used a couple of those.
Well, and you guys are an
a juggernaut,
an infinitely superior team offensively, right?
Allegedly, yeah.
But and what they're saying is styles make games, right?
For sure.
And they're saying the down low forechecking cycle game of the Islanders is maybe only surpassed by the Bruins, right?
Yep.
And how that plays into Toronto's strengths/
rickety defense
weaknesses, right?
Yep.
Is it's a bad matchup for you.
You're not suggesting Boston's better at that than the Islanders, are you? Because that's going to be a problem for us.
Well, hey!
We got 2/6 of our defense out.
Well, and who knew?
Who defense is important.
Who knew that? Well, and I'm not sure who I heard recently say, Jake Muzzin was brought in to be more of a 5-6 defenseman.
No, he absolutely was not.
And I'm saying nobody is giving up a first-round draft pick for a 5-6 defenseman.
No.
That is not
That's
how
not
that
what
works.
Happened. No.
And I don't care if it's only been 2-3 weeks since the – yeah, that is not how that works.
No.
Right? And if – play the guy on his right side.
Play somebody. Move Riley over there. Somebody. But just, we got four really good left side defensemen and no really good right side defensemen. Somebody's got to move.
Ozhiganov. How about that guy? Throw him over there.
Justin Hole back in the lineup. Sure. I know we wanted to talk a little bit about the Bruins, but first, let me segue us there by talking a little about the Lightning, who clinched a playoff spot in just 68 games, tying a record set by the 2009 San Jose Sharks and the 2010 Washington Capitals. What do you suppose those two teams, the 2009 Sharks and 2010 Capitals, have in common?
Horrific flameouts in the playoff.
First round exits for both.
Okay, look at me.
Do you suspect the same is the case for the Lightning?
No.
Neither of us would have suspected in 9 or 10 that would have happened. I don't either, but I think it's fascinating.
I don't know. To me, the Sharks were always that somebody ran a hinterland who's who with the San Jose Sharks, and they talked
hinterland.
About... Do you remember that? You used to see it on like TVO or the Arctic Fox.
It was really just a TVO kids kind of guy.
What's that girl's name with the big... Anyways.
Oh, yeah. TVO kids, man.
Okay, but she's a host.
She had the
man.
Big kid.
She was a host. She was in her
20s. Yeah, all right. As long as you're sure she was in her
20s. I'm positive. Janelle. Okay. Janelle was her name.
Okay.
Loved it. My kids used to watch
I've
it all
had a bad
time.
Experience with Janelle's.
Anyways, okay, forget about it. You're not getting the hinterland who's who.
Nope.
San Jose Sharks. Go to sleep in April. Those sorts of things. It was... That team had choke written all over it.
This Lightning team does not.
Does not. And watching them.
You don't really know it till you see it. Right? Like, is there a chance that it could be the Penguins that end up in that second wild card spot? Would you sit down and then go, nah, Tampa in five?
No.
Like this is.
But Pittsburgh is the only team.
Okay.
Right. Columbus, you're not worried about the Carolina, Habs jumping Montreal, up for Biden. Islanders.
Whoever. I'm with you, but it could be Pittsburgh.
Yeah, if it's Pittsburgh, I think they have a little bit of that. I'm just saying that's the one thing that would scare me if I was a Lightning guy.
Right.
Right. It's just the pedigree they have and the ability to sort of shift. Their defense is fairly rickety as well and has some.
Yep.
Has some, help me out, health issues.
So as we sit here right now, Saturday afternoon, the Boston Bruins have gone, I believe it's 18
straight
without
games.
A loss. That dates back to January 29th.
I think it's 18 games with a point.
How many points would you suggest they have gained on Tampa in those 18 games without a loss? Because it is without a loss.
It is without a loss? They haven't lost the game? You sure?
Yes.
Without a loss in regulation?
Without a loss.
They've won 18 in a row. Not true.
Well, then they've got points in 18. Whatever.
It's an 18-game point streak.
Okay, fine. How many points have they made up on Tampa?
I wager they've gained 1 point.
They have gained 0 points on Tampa. Tampa just keeps mowing down the entire fucking league.
Well,
you go 18 games without a regulation loss, and you've made up nothing on the team ahead of
right.
you. Unreal, man.
And as I said to you, I think it was last Saturday or it was somewhere in the recent past, the Sens were in there. And so it gives me a chance to look at them, right?
Yeah.
For a full 60. Because, you switch around, you see games. But to watch them for 60 minutes, I love the all-black unis, too, just for the record. I get
a lot of people didn't.
Yeah, I get how for a play-by-play guy,
yeah,
it'd be
your
hard
boy
to
Dean Brown, not a fan, which I get because those numbers aren't standing out.
This is it. But to me, I liked them a lot.
Yeah,
they have no real weaknesses.
No,
right?
They don't.
and honestly, they just roll. Like there were sections of that game where Ottawa is trying to be its plucky and scrappy best,
the pesky Sens,
and then we give up a chance. Wham! Wham! And you're just like, oh.
Stop hitting me.
Yeah, you just can't. Hey, why are you hitting yourself?
Yeah.
Why are you hitting yourself? Right? Like
that does sound more like a Senator's
yes,
thing.
Yes,
hit yourself
exactly.
Before
exactly. Grab
someone
by the wrist. Slap, slap. It's they are just, honestly, they have way too many game breakers.
Yeah.
Now we'll see, right? The playoffs do funky things.
Yep.
So I'm certainly not willing to cede them the cup.
No.
But, man, I don't see them short of Pittsburgh jumping up and giving them the business. I don't see that being a first round. I don't see them in the same vein yet as those sort of perennial chokers, early 2000 Senators.
Well, this is it.
Sharks.
There's been a lot of years. We've talked about Tampa as they just never seem to get there.
Yeah, a lot of years, but not like last year and this year, right? These 2 years seems to, they have, when they made those trades for McDonough and JT Miller last year, solid trades.
Yep.
Bringing
a year before that, they had missed the playoffs because they basically had
injuries.
The AHL lineup featuring Kucherov, and that was it, right? Like
Syracuse has been pretty good, though.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I think now they are in a spot where everybody is and everybody's looking at them though.
Why? Yeah, that's true. Why is everyone, and this is sort of a thing because I'm a Toronto guy, why is everyone talking about Toronto's cap hell and no one talking about the fact that going into next season, Tampa has just over $6 million in cap space with three defensemen unrestricted and Braden Point to sign.
Yeah.
That's a team with cap problems.
Well, and this is, and again, now as a Senators guy, a team that has upwards of maybe potentially $25 million in cap space.
$130 million of cap space.
It is, you look at that and go, when the Islanders took Boychuk from Boston and Nick Leddy from Chicago,
that's right?
And
in one
go,
day, I think.
Yeah. And you're saying, and they're still there.
Yes.
And you go, this is where a team like Ottawa with cap space gets to go around and say,
give me a bad contract and
or make an offer sheet to Kasperi Kapanen.
So we're back on Toronto.
Okay, but whatever. I'm just saying those sorts of things, right? You make that offer sheet to Kapanen, or you,
yeah,
you say, hey, sure, what do you have down there? We got, yep, picks. We got this. Yeah. No, it's totally interesting to
for
see
me,
how
be,
this is going to shake out.
I will take Dan Girardi for you, but you'll give me Yanni Gourde with him.
Yeah. No.
Something like that.
If you have a team with any kind of, now that's not us, I was going to say any kind of capable management who has money in draft picks, and you go,
well, you have one of those. You've got some picks.
Okay, but
not the good ones, but you've,
right,
got some.
But they need to get to the cap floor.
Yes. So that's why Dan Girardi.
Oh, sorry, you were going back to that. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying is, yeah, whatever anybody wants to say about whether they're going to spend.
You should take Lucic and Puljujärvi.
Oof. What are you going to give me with it?
Puljujärvi.
Oof.
I'm still.
I think he's got the stink of the oil on him big time, man. I'm not sure.
If they would do something Lucic and Puljujärvi for, I don't, even like a third round pick, I think you guys need to do that.
See, but to me, Lucic has got four more years.
I know that bleeds into your 2021 to 2025 years of unparalleled success.
But we're spending near the cap. Like, not even
I
to
know.
The cap.
This would
near.
Get, yeah. I know that might get in the way of these unprecedented years of success.
Well,
but essentially,
honestly, we'll be able to jettison Bobby Ryan by that time. But then we'll still have Lucic. And you're like, oh, my God. And Puljujärvi's not enough.
To take Lucic?
You got to give us Russell as well.
Single-handedly using Oiler guys to get to the floor. I don't know. I think Oiler fans like Chris Russell, which power to use. Keep him then,
okay.
I guess.
And I didn't mind it when he signed, but to me, I didn't see the guy.
I hated that.
For sure you did. Yeah. Yes, and I'll go on the record saying, yeah, you absolutely said that.
Yeah.
To me, $4 million or whatever it was.
4.25.
Yeah. Well, okay.
For 4 years, whatever. Yeah.
Wasn't gonna make or break. But as we said before, there are no more middle income guys.
Right.
You can't afford to have bad contracts and middle income,
yeah,
guys.
That shit between 3 and 5 million kills you.
For sure.
Yeah.
Unless it's somebody like Arvidsson.
Yeah. No. Look. Oof. But that's the area where you make mistakes is in there, right? It's okay to pay McDavid 12,
yeah,
five,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's okay to have guys on entry level. You can't fuck up in that $3 to $5 million.
No, and I'm saying short of Johansson in Nashville,
yeah,
man, they have got a bunch of guys on super fat. Like, honestly, Arvidsson's making 4.75.
Yeah.
He's got 30 goals in 40 games.
Well, they just locked up Ryan Ellis. I forget what his number was, but it was super reasonable too, right? Like, maybe right around 6 or something,
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, if you're
like,
looking at it, and I don't have the numbers handy or any inclination to look them up. But they got a bunch of guys signed for,
yeah.
Now
they're doing a nice job.
Yeah, now I bet you they are having a little buyer's remorse on the Kyle Turris deal.
Sure. Yeah.
You got that guy for another
five years yep,
at 6. And so it
could
me,
just be a down year.
Yep. Yeah, you're right.
But
his playoffs weren't great last,
nope,
year, and this season has not been good.
No. Nope.
And if they want to bring in Matt Duchene, you got to jettison Turris.
End up with both of those fucking guys.
Well, would that be fitting, wouldn't
Jesus
it?
Jesus Christ, man. I think that's about it on this one, isn't it, man?
You know what? Just when I see Thomas
Hertl
hit the 30-goal mark the other day, it harkens me back to...
He's going under with my fantasy team.
Okay,
thanks for your 30.
Yeah.
I could have used 40.
Yeah. But it takes me back to last summer and in early September when Carlson got traded there. And I was like, the whole summer, I'm like, if he's going to go to San Jose, don't give me your Thomas Hertl bullshit.
He'd look good at a Chris Tierney.
And then we see the deal and you're like, why couldn't it be Thomas Hertl? Right? It's funny how the perspective changes, right? And then Hertl goes out and hits 30. And without seeing him
fucking
on a regular
right,
basis, Mello, right? You don't realize, A, how big and how skilled he is,
yeah,
right? And so anyways, just a nod to
late in the season, picked up both him and Timo Meier, and they've both been really, really good in terms of points. Not good enough to undo the bullshit I'd already fucking.
Yeah. Well, can you drop them and I can pick them up?
Because yeah, right,
I'm still
sure,
I'm still in contention, my friend.
Get couldn't get Hurdle in real life. Maybe I can at least get him on my fantasy.
On my fantasy pool. Suter McGavin, baby, right there.
I think that's allowed. Can you just start dropping, guys? I know you can't trade, but maybe you can drop.
I did. Just yesterday. So yeah. I picked up Tom Wilson.
All right, I'll hook you up.
That a boy.
For the highest bidder, maybe. So I'll hook you up. That's Talk and Sports. I think we're going to be back later on this week with a little bit more. In the meantime, stick around. I think on Monday we'll hit you with an all-new episode of Audio Whiplash. Until then, this is Tall Can Sports, and we'll see you.
See ya!
We're not gonna be fucking sucked this year! Yeah!
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.